mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
He was on with us, I guess, about 6 months ago. He's the professor. He's the doctor. He is the one of the top statisticians in the world. I mean, not just on guns. He's hired by top companies. He's recognized as one of the best statisticians on the planet. John Lott, crimeresearch.org. He told us, what was it, 6 months ago? I'm going from memory. Let's see if my memory's right. Let's look it up, please. Got to keep checking my memory or it'll fail. And he found that crime using guns dropped, not guns committing crimes, you notice, criminals using guns, that type of crime dropped 61%. Again, I just went with Justice Department numbers of 51. It doesn't surprise me that they've cooked them down, but whatever. Let's just not argue the point. He said the big assault is coming, and he was right. This is the next big push for our guns. And by the way, just because we've been winning some battles, don't think we're winning the war. We are in the fight, as I've said thousands of times, but we are not winning. We've come from behind a lot, but the minute we start thinking we've got this game in the bag is the minute we're going to get hurt bad. Now is the time to really get serious, really get focused, and realize it's for all the marbles and think about your family.
You're right. He was on about 6 months ago.
He was on 6 months ago. Thanks.
April 27th.
April 27th. So this is an epic battle. And I think what's happening, I know what's happening, is people now are really getting, we're being conquered by foreign megabanks. And by the way, their philosophy is enslaving us, making us dumb, and then phasing us out. And that kind of, as at a race consciousness level, humans are the race. We are brothers and sisters together. I don't care what color we are, what coat of paint we got. We all have similar backgrounds. Our ancestors all went through the exact same type of crap. If I know one thing, it's that people are people. Sure, certain groups have certain traits culturally and things, but at the end of the day, at the medium average person, people are people. And humans really aren't lazy as so much as if something's complex, they'll tune out of it until it overwhelms them. Then they'll start assessing the situation and do something about it. And the social engineers want to get us in a position wrapped up in a cultural spider web that by the time we wake up, we're basically already dead. Well, here's the deal. I'm not dead. You're not dead. What the enemy has done is so ridiculously outrageous, it's hard to beat because it's just so over the top. At one level. At another level, it's easy to beat because it's so over the top. But you got to meet the radical activity with radical response. Not that we're being radical or making something up. It's that it is radical to respond to these people because only radical means we'll deal with them. Because they are radical. They're not negotiating with us. They're not going to back off with us. They're not going to stop their plan. They hate us. This is about dominating and controlling humanity. This is about conquering the species. They want to mount our head over their dining hall. They want the heavyweight champion belt. They want the Super Bowl trophy. They fight in the war that really matters. They want to control our genetics, say when we can have kids, decide what humanity does. They want to end free will. And you get a bunch of fake pseudo-intellectuals making movies about how I don't like black people and say the N-word. That's all you got? But when I'm just trying to save myself, my family, and humanity, and you people sit around like pseudo-intellectuals and engage in this type of criminal garbage against your viewers, I'm not even angry at you. I just look at how pathetic you are and how you get these walking orders and you actually engage in this. We're going to beat you. I know it.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, got two different articles here that really give you a bird's eye view into what's going on. NFL says it will pay back the Pentagon for patriotic halftime shows. That stirring multi-million dollar display of patriotism you saw at halftime was brought to you by you, the taxpayer. And that story is up on Infowars.com. Now, of course, if you're a regular listener, this is old news. And again, I'm not against the military. I'm not against patriotic displays, obviously. But it's fake. Whenever they make a basket and then they just cut to troops in uniform, that was product placement. That was propaganda placement. You were paying for it. Now, quite frankly, the military has a budget to get people to become recruited and join the armed services. So I don't even so much have a problem with this if it's admittedly sponsored. But see, it's unseemly. It's embarrassing to think that they had to be paid to do something like this. But a story like this, you can get people to then think about it and go, wait a minute, what else is paid for? Well, we could play the former attorney general speaking to the national RTF convention saying we need to brainwash the public against the Second Amendment. Billions and billions are spent, and much of it is secretive, to engage in domestic propaganda, and most of it is promoting transgender bathrooms, anti-gun garbage, open border propaganda. Your taxpayer money is being spent. I'll never forget News Corp even put out a video 4 or 5 years ago we played several times to the stockholders bragging about how they promote global warming and carbon taxes and anti-gun stuff on their Fox TV platform. Then they have the conservative market over here. And so I'm just saying, become aware of this. And I know you're aware of it, but get your friends and family to become aware of it. Because once you're aware of it, I knew, and then our guest is here, we're going to him, I knew, what was it, 5 Super Bowls ago, when they had the Green Police ad, that was paid for by government at some level to get people ready for the new Green Police to take you to jail if your hot tub's too hot or you're using too much energy or you have the wrong light bulbs or the wrong emissions. Notice it was an Audi commercial caught faking stuff with Volkswagen, faking emissions. And then the mayor of San Francisco came out with the head PR company there and admitted that government had been involved funding that to prepare the public for what was coming. And under federal grants, the uniforms they were wearing, I knew it when I saw it, white and green, globally that's the uniform of the Green Police from Australia to the United States. See, this is global standardization, folks. It's super creepy. It's total conditioning. And now we have Bill Maher putting up Infowars.com and putting the subheadline 2 nights ago, "Cancer doesn't hurt you," Alex Jones says. This is the type of deception they engage in, or they have a major movie out we talked about earlier that Google's sponsoring, where they say Alex Jones doesn't like black people with no proof. This is the type of dirty trick. And they're not just doing it to me. They're doing it to gun owners, saying you're to blame when someone's killed. Now, joining us, and I really appreciate him coming on in his busy schedule, crimeresearch.org, is Dr. John Lott, professor. He's an economist, world-renowned expert on guns and crime, but also hired by a lot of top companies out there for just other number crunching. And Nobel laureate Milton Friedman noted that John Lott has few equals as a perceptive analyst and controversial public policy issues. He's one of the most productive inside economists in the world. And I'm not going to get into all that, but he is a statistician, and an economist. So maybe we can get into the economy with him, too, in the limited time we have with him here today. And before we get into the attack on guns that he predicted 6 months ago here on the show, that a new wave was coming of fake data, which we now see, and product placement, propaganda placement, behavior placement is what the government calls it. I want to just segue back just into the general world today. What he sees in politics, what candidates he likes. Professor Lott, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me on.
State of the world. I mean, just as a person, as an American, what is your overall sense of things? I mean, are people waking up? Are the kleptocrats in trouble? Or how do you see this as a football game right now? Who's winning?
Well, I mean, I think a lot's going to be determined over the next year. Right now, the Supreme Court is very evenly divided. If you look at the recent cases that we've had in the D.C. And Chicago gun cases where complete bans on guns were struck down as too extreme by the Supreme Court, you had 5-4 decisions. But two of the justices on the five side are 80 years old. And there's no way they're going to make it another 4 years and surely not another 8 years if you have a Democratic president. And if you have one or both of those individuals get replaced with people who are similar to the ones the Democrats have already put on the Supreme Court, you're going to end up with them reversing those earlier wins. The four Democratic appointees on the Supreme Court do not believe that there's an individual right to self-defense, let alone an individual right to using a gun for self-defense. And you're going to see a major change in how they interpret the Second Amendment. But beyond that, you have huge amounts of money there being spent. Bloomberg spending $50 million a year on every town. I don't know exactly how many tens or millions more he's spending on other types of activities like funding university research, or he gives money to get a school of journalism that they can journalists around how to quote deal with him. But very doubtful, and he funds researchers that agree with him. And then he trains journalists on how to cover the issue. And then he has a lot of money being spent on the political end, the $50 million a year. But it's just not him. You have George Soros. You have 23 large health foundations that were deeply involved in pushing Obamacare. And the president in 2013 met with them and said, look, we've won the health care debate. It's time to focus on another issue. So those foundations that spend any place from $2.5 to $10 million or so a year are now spending it on gun control issues. And so, of course, you have President Obama is using many resources with the federal government to push these things. So a lot's being done there. Now, that doesn't mean everything's bad. On the other hand, you've had a lot of states that have moved towards making it easier for people to be able to go and defend themselves. You have some states, though, like Maryland and New Jersey and California and New York and Connecticut, places like that, which are becoming more restrictive. One of the big pushes these days has been to try to put fees or taxes on people's ability to obtain a gun. So, and that's basically tied in with these universal background checks in New York. That adds about $80 onto the cost of transferring a gun. In Washington State, it adds about $60. In Oregon, it adds $50-some onto the cost of transferring a gun. But that's not the only approach. In some place like Maryland, for example, in 2013, they passed licensing and registration of handguns. To license and register one handgun costs you about $300. And so my belief is that the main reason why they're pushing for these implicit taxes is to try to reduce gun ownership, and particularly reduce it among poor individuals, particularly disproportionately poor blacks who live in high crime urban areas.
Well, sure, they admit they're trying to remove the guns from the people. But as you said 6 months ago, a new wave, a new push is coming, but it seems like the new pushes only wakes the public up that much faster.
Well, I suppose it does to some extent, but a lot of these studies get very uncritical coverage. When Bloomberg's new Every Town comes out with a new study, you'll find, a couple or a few thousand news reports across the country, and they're completely uncritical. It's like giving them free advertising there. And I worry that it has an impact on people's perceptions of guns, and in particular, I worry that it causes people to take less safe options. If you convince somebody not to own guns in the home when, in fact, owning guns are the way that will make people safer. You know, you put lives at risk.
Let's elaborate on that, because we have a lot of new affiliates, a lot of new listeners every few seconds that tune in. The well-established fact, as your book title details, more guns, less crime.
All right. Well, look, just as you can deter criminals with higher arrest rates or higher conviction rates or longer prison sentences, the fact that a would-be victim might be able to go and defend themselves can also make it risky for criminals to go and commit crimes and deter some of them from engaging in it. Having a gun is by far the safest course of action for people to take when they're confronted by a criminal. That's particularly true for two groups of people. It's particularly true for people who are relatively weaker physically, women and the elderly. A presence of a gun represents a much bigger relative change in a woman's ability to go and protect herself than does for a man. You're talking about usually young male criminals and violent attacks, and the strength differential between a man attacking a woman is much larger than a man attacking another man.
And the gun's so the equalizer. Why aren't the feminists pushing guns for women?
Well, that's a good question. You know, you look generally, if you look at surveys, the one issue that most differentiates liberals and conservatives isn't abortion, it isn't taxes, it's gun control. And I think part of that has to do with who you think should run your life, whether it be health care or other issues. A lot of Democrats seem to believe that the government needs to go and tell you exactly what type of health policy you should have, health insurance policy, you know, exactly what's covered. It seems like conservatives are more willing to let individuals make those types of decisions. But when you use something like gun owners in some kind of the alt.
Professor Lott, your phone's breaking up. I think you may have gotten away from the hub or digitally it's having a problem. We're going to go back to you in just a moment. Also, major Democratic publications just this week have come out and said they're worried that Hillary's open calls for confiscation, Australian style, might cause a civil war. Daily Beast, Obama, Hillary toying with civil war over gun confiscation. And so I think his phone may be back by now. Specifically, Professor Lott, again, the author of More Guns, Less Crime, Professor John Lott, crimeresearch.org, is our guest. I don't want a revolution. I don't want a war. But if persecution against gun owners continues, if Obama does an executive order, tries to ban semi-auto, people keep thinking he won't do that, but he's making noises. People didn't think we'd have Obamacare either, or just open borders outside of law, or that he'd be shutting power plants down outside of law, or that he'd be signing secret treaties, or that he'd be funding ISIS and getting caught. So we are living in the age of their attempt to take over. Are they arrogant enough to try a frontal assault? Because even, again, the Democrats, even the Daily Beast is scared and says, hey, you're admitting you want to take them. We're not supposed to tell them our plan is to take them. That upsets them too much. I mean, they actually say that in the article. They say we got to creep up, you know, in the dead of night and do this incrementally. But I guess once you get to a certain point, they've got to just be more honest about what their plan is. What do you think about those discussions?
Well, I don't think they're going to ban all semi-automatic guns. Most guns sold in the United States are semi-automatic guns. I think what some of the things that are happening are there's discussions about making it so that individuals on Social Security that are having help with their finances may end up being classified as mentally defective.
Sure.
And therefore prevented from owning guns. So, for example, my mom, who's in her 80s, doesn't use the computer. She doesn't know how to use it, doesn't want to use it. She's given my sister power of attorney to go and pay her bills. But under the discussed rules that the Obama administration has been having, she would be classified as mentally defective and therefore not be allowed to own a gun. And as I've just mentioned, somebody like my mom, who's in her 80s, fairly weak physically, is exactly the type of individual sure. who benefits a lot from having the option to use a gun for protection.
And statistics show the elderly are some of the safest people with guns. They don't commit crimes. They don't hurt anybody. I mean, they're one of the most innocent good groups. Why would you target them? It is so evil. The FBI actually said that, quote, we're looking at the VA's algorithm. If you get automatic money transfer, which is what the VA basically demands people do, we learned, then we're going to declare you incompetent. Outside of a court of law, they just have some computer program that does it, some bioethics computer. I mean, this, talk about rule of THX1138.
Right. Well, I mean, they essentially will put down some rule rather than going to court, and that's hopefully going to be challenged and fought out. But President Obama has appointed about half the federal judges in this country. And as I say, we're facing a battle for control of the Supreme Court that's there over the next year or so. And, you know, who knows what they may decide on that type of issue. But you've already had several hundred thousand veterans who, under those types of rules, have had their names put into the National Instant Background Check System and are denied the right to be able to go and buy a gun because of those types of rules.
Let me expand on that with you. Matt Drudge, a month ago, was here in studio with us, an exclusive interview that we re-aired yesterday because it was so popular. But he told me the name specifically and the details, and it was even more frightening than what he's told people on air, but I'm not allowed to repeat it. Just kind of the paradox of being a reporter, not being able to report things. But at a event, a private event with some who's, he's there with this top, high-level Supreme Court justice, leave it at that, and some other people, too, from the government. And they said, no, the Democrats admit they're coming after free speech in 2016. They've got the votes. They've got the people. And you think they've been bad on whistleblowers so far, the press. They're going after the internet. They're going after Drudge. They're going after free speech. And now they're even suddenly making the rumblings in the news. So they're not just going after the Second Amendment. We obviously need the first to defend the second, and then vice versa. I think we need to raise our rhetoric to really point out we're dealing with a totalitarian takeover, Professor Lott, and people that have the gravitas like you do out there. I have a lot of folks that respect you. I respect you, but you also have been very measured in what you say and do. But do you agree that the fact that of what I'm saying, what Drudge is saying, this is a very totalitarian climate we're starting to enter?
Yeah, I'm trying to use totalitarian, but there is.
We're going to have to pause again, sir. Your phone cut out again. We'll come back in about 3 seconds. The wonders of digital communications. He's going to come back in just a moment. I'm sorry, Dr. Lott. I think you're back now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hear you fine. Look, I'm sorry if my phone...
It's okay. It's okay.
I'm on a landline. But the... I think the real issue is one of safety that most people in the middle of the debate can understand. And that's the reason why I think most gun control advocates talk about, you know, reasonable laws for safety. You know, obviously you and I don't think that they're reasonable laws. But the problem is that when you raise the cost of guns, when you make it so that certain people like elderly are banned from being able to own a gun or veterans because of the way the Obama administration wants to define mental illness, you know, you're talking about making it so that people aren't able to go and defend themselves. And real lives are at stake here. And yeah, and look, when you're talking about $300 to license and register a handgun in Maryland, just look earlier this year where you had orders to the police to stand down and not stop the riots in the poor, heavily black parts of the city that were there. We're making it so that the police can't defend these individuals, or they surely can't depend upon the police to defend them. And we're also making it because of these high fees. That
and the mayor ordered a stand down.
It's difficult for them to defend themselves, right?
I mean, that is so criminal in my view, and you're absolutely right. How can the court say the police have no duty to protect us? Obviously, they don't, and they can't all the time. They try to, and then tell us we can't have guns. What a fundamental form of discrimination, again, that Drudge pointed out, that these people are all armed. They've got bodyguards from Michael Moore to Barack Obama to his kids at school. have, you know, all these armed bodyguards, but they have the nerve to say somebody in Chicago shouldn't be able to have a gun, Professor. That is just outrageous.
Sure. Well, I mean, Michael Bloomberg has armed bodyguards. One can go through the list of people at his Everytown group that have armed bodyguards. So clearly, they understand the benefit of guns for protection. It's just that they think that only the extremely wealthy or politically well-connected individuals should have it. When you look at places that allow concealed carry but restrict it so that you have to go and get permission, these so-called may-issue places like New York City, you have a few thousand people that have permits, but they're basically union leaders. They're some very well-placed media types. They may be Arthur Sulzberger, the head of the publisher for the New York Times, has had a permit. Those individuals, those very powerful individuals, are able to get permission to have it. But some poor businessman who works in Harlem or somebody who lives in a particularly dangerous area in New York City, they're not going to be allowed to be able to go and protect themselves.
Well, remember when they freaked out a month ago that Trump admitted he had a permit, like it was bad that a billionaire, a major target of kidnapping and crime, had a gun? I mean, and then but they're fine with other rich people having guns. So it's not just that only poor people can't have them. Now rich people that they don't agree with can't have them. Professor Lott, stay there. I want to talk about statistics, what guns are doing to make us safer. Straight ahead. We'll be right back.
Fortune favors the bold. It's Alex Jones.
When I was young, I was the nicest guy I knew. I thought I was the chosen one. But time went by and I found out a thing or two. My shine wore off as time wore on.
Research.org. John Lott is our guest. He's been gracious enough. He's a really busy guy to spend much of an hour with us. I want to open the phones up to see what your great questions or comments for this icon of defending the Second Amendment has been basically breaking down for us over the last 20, 30 years. The toll-free number to join us on the Second Amendment and the right to keep our arms worldwide, 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Also, I want to remind listeners that we have the Hillary for Prison t-shirt that is limited edition. I do one limited edition or so t-shirt a year. This is the limited edition shirt. It's selling until December 18th, and then that's it. It will be sold out and no more Hillary for Prison shirts. If you want to get yours, it helps support the InfoWar. It spreads the word. And on the back, it says InfoWars.com, legalize freedom. It's $19.95, and your purchase, again, helps make this operation be able to continue on. We have 10% off on the great Alexa Pure gravity-fed systems that are simply amazing. We have all the different studies and tests showing how it reduces or completely removes over 500 different poisons that are in most water supplies. One of the biggest things you can do is clean up your water. That's a no-brainer. I know I'm not telling you something you don't know, so why aren't you at InfoWarsStore.com? In the water filter section, where we have the best, highest quality, tested, gravity-fed, portable systems. We've got pitchers, we've got the life straws, we've got the survival spring straws. They're also excellent. Shopping with the good guys helps fund this operation. Shopping with patriots helps grow our movement. Remember what the Clintons were scared of when WorldNet Daily sued and in a four-year a request that they wouldn't honor, so they basically sued them, or threatened to sue, and got those thousands of pages of documents from the Clinton Library. It was 1993, and they said, we've got to stop a new media coming up, libertarian or conservative or any other, on the internet. We've got to call them all conspiracy theorists. We can't let them ever sell products or get advertising, because then they'll build a new media. We've got to stop it. And these were memos to all the big, it was 10 corporations then that owned 90% of the media. Now it's five. You talk about a conspiracy. Well, guess what? You failed. And Rush Limbaugh wrote an article on Monday that Drudge carried, pointing out that he started the conservative revolution and in media. And whether you like Limbaugh or not, whether he, you know, he's not hardcore enough for you, I hear you. They can bring him down. They can bring us down. So we got to support him. It's just that simple. They hate his guts. And he did start it. So you got to dance with who brung you. There was nothing in 1988 when he launched his show. There wouldn't even be talk radio today. So thank God for it. He didn't invent it. It was around before that, but not national. And so we now are the vanguard of that today. And so we've got to really understand that. So please support us. Buy the products. 25% off BrainForce. It's just a whole bunch of known compounds that are organic that help you think better, clearer, without a bunch of caffeine. It does have Uramate in it, which I've found the most effective type of caffeine. The molecule's different. InfoWarsLife.com for those products. InfoWarsStore.com is the umbrella site, or 888-253-3139. But bottom line, support us. Also support Professor Lott. Go to crimeresearch.org and get his books. Give them to an anti-gunner. Take an anti-gunner out shooting. That's one way to break their conditioning. Again, our guest is John Lott, crimeresearch.org, 800-259-9231. I want to go to calls in about 5 minutes, but I've been asking some of the questions here today. You're really at the heart of exposing what's happening statistically, but also politically. What are the latest statistics? What are some other numbers we should know about? What are some other issues that I haven't raised that people should be alerted to, Professor?
Well, probably the biggest debate that's coming up is, are these universal background checks? We've talked about part of the issue with regard to them, and that is that it's being used as a way of making it more costly for people to get guns. Before I kind of get into the statistical stuff, I just want to make one aspect of that first point clear, and that is, if you look over the last few years, I've been involved in some of the political debates behind the scenes. In Colorado, for example, where they passed the universal background check in 2013, they have both a state tax on the transfer of a gun, as well as you have to pay a federally licensed dealer to handle the transfer. And I had the idea of having an amendment there that would exempt people below the poverty level from having to pay the state tax. The Democrats, except for two pro-gun Democrats, voted en masse against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay that tax.
That is so sensational.
In Maryland, I mean,
that's like the poll tax on black people so they couldn't vote. I mean, that is so discriminatory. How do they get away with that?
Right, well, it's reason why I'm talking about it now, in part, to let people know. Because, I mean, how many taxes can you think of that Democrats would vote en masse against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay?
Unbelievable.
You know, it's clear, it should be clear to them that the primary impact isn't going to stop you or myself from being able to get a gun, but it mainly will stop poor people, particularly poor minorities who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, from having the option to go and defend themselves. And it's just not Colorado and Maryland. When they passed the licensing and registration in 2013, you know, $300, there was a similar attempt to try to exempt people below the poverty level from having to bear those costs. In the sense that Democrats controlled over two-thirds of both the state House and the state Senate, they wouldn't even let the amendments come up for a vote. And so, you know, how much clearer can you be that the main point of it is to try to stop people from being able to have guns? I mean, if it was just an issue of solving crime, which I don't think it does, you know, they would say, well, you know, these poor people, will exempt them or we'll pay for it out of general revenue. That's a basic point there. As an economist, I would say that if you have a government service that's benefiting everybody, then everybody should pay for it. You shouldn't just make it so that it's the law-abiding good citizens who you really have the least amount to worry about But the law-abiding individuals who go through these background checks shouldn't be the ones who have to bear the entire burden of running this system. But as far as the statistics go with regard to these background checks, one thing people really need to understand is how much of a mess the current system is. It looks like over 99% of the denials that occur from the current background check system are law-abiding citizens who should have been able to legally buy a gun but were stopped because they had a name similar to someone that the government wanted to stop. And so, you know, when the president goes and says that there have been over 2 million prohibited or dangerous people who have been stopped from buying guns because of background checks, that's simply false. What he should say is that there have been over 2 million initial denials. Just because you stop somebody who has a name similar to a felon doesn't mean you're stopping a felon from being able to go and buy a gun. So an analogy would be the late Senator Ted Kennedy from Massachusetts.
There were 5 he tried to fly, where he was on the note because he stopped this.
Okay, your phone's doing it again, sir. It's okay. It's going to come right back. It actually adds to the radio theater for listeners out there. We also, of course, have TV viewers. Professor John Lott is our guest. You need to go to his website, get the crime statistics, crimeresearch.org. It's not just his statistics. His statistics, time after time, get matched up with the crime statistics and proven to be deadly accurate. So we're talking 50%+ drop in violent crime. The Justice Department says, Lott says it's more like 61%. This great truth is coming out, so we're winning the hearts and minds, just like on abortion. The problem is they're just moving forward. It's like Obamacare is unpopular and horrible, but we can't get rid of it for some reason. So we're talking about this fight right now. I'm sorry, Professor Lott, your phone broke up again. You're back. Go ahead.
So the thing is, I assume the president wouldn't count the 5 times that Senator Kennedy was stopped from flying as 5 times we stopped a terrorist from flying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way essentially they count these numbers when we're talking about the gun background checks. And the problem is that while for most individuals it may simply be a big inconvenience to have them stopped from buying a gun because they had a name similar to someone the government really wanted to stop, there's going to be a small but significant number of law-abiding individuals who are stopped.
Sure.
Who may have really needed a gun quickly for self-defense.
Well, my dad's been on the watch list. My dad's been on the watch list and had some gun issues. He has no criminal record because his name is David Jones.
Right.
And his middle name is common as well. So there's probably, there's thousands of David Joneses. There's hundreds with his exact name. And so he has problems. Does that mean he was a terrorist they stopped? No.
No, exactly right. I mean, they basically look at 2 things. They have a, quote, similar name. They won't tell us exactly what they mean by a similar name, and birthday. But when you have a name that's going to be extremely common, like David Jones, you know, it's very likely that you'll have somebody someplace else in the country that has a close enough name and a birthday that will cause you to be flagged when you try to go and buy a gun, for example. And the way that the administration has made this even worse, as this has been a problem since they started the background check system, is that they go through and they determine whether it was a false positive, but it's kind of like the last thing they do when they've spent money on everything else and they have a little bit of money left over, then they go back through to see whether they've made mistakes in terms of classifying people. But what the Obama administration's done is that they're essentially forcing you to hire a lawyer to go and find out what the result was. Before, you would have been informed under previous administrations. But, you know, if you make somebody have to hire a lawyer, pay a couple thousand dollars to go and find out whether or not, you know, it was an error, but get the
total harassment
that it was an error. Right. It's total harassment. And again, it's something that prevents poor individuals, disproportionate minority, from being able to go and get a gun for protection.
And then they get a gun, quote, illegally. They want to make it illegal, and I guess in all jurisdictions, to have a private transfer, which is, of course, de facto registration. We know the paradigm they engage in. But I agree with you. Politically, we should really be hammering not just the fact that these elites are armed, but want us disarmed, but also that all over the country they're passing laws and not exempting poor people from these gun taxes. And that really is truly despicable, because I don't know one rich liberal who doesn't get caught with armed bodyguards. In fact, I've been at their houses in Los Angeles. You'll go to like some of the most famous liberal people's houses. And I've been to some of them. I've been to parties. And, man, they got armed former special forces people. I guess the sexy thing to have is former Israeli commandos. And they'll just have armed commandos. And I'm not talking about Charlie Sheen. You know, he's pro-Second Amendment and does have armed Israeli commandos. But I'm talking about other people. And you're just there, and it's like you're against guns, but you got a guy in a suit and sports jacket with, you know, guns under his jacket, standing guard outside in a car or in your house. I'll be sitting there on the cell phone around the side of somebody's house making a phone call, and you look over 5 feet, and there's an Israeli commando looking at you with a submachine gun under their jacket. And it's so crazy. I don't get the disconnect of these people. Why? What is their problem? Or is it that they're just so entitled, they think it's okay for them to have guns, but you can't?
Well, they trust themselves to make the right decisions, but they don't think anybody else is smart enough to be able to make the same decisions that they feel they're able to make themselves.
Let's take some phone calls. We got John in Wyoming, Ben, Doug, Eli, Alex, and many, many others. I like this question from Ben. Ben wants to ask, well, I'll let Ben ask it, from Missouri. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, Alex, how are you doing?
Good, brother. Go ahead.
Good to see you again. So basically my comment was that I think the Second Amendment and gun registration, you know, trying to ban guns is the line in the sand for the American people that will kick off the revolution, if there was going to be one. It's just a question of, like Salon said, whether or not, you know, people like Hillary, people like Obama, you know, are going to do that.
Well, sure, let me ask it this way. Why do you, because your phone cut out earlier and you didn't get to this answer, Professor, why do you think Hillary's talking about Australian-style confiscation when it is so unpopular? And they used to lie about their plan. Why would she politically do that? I mean, who's advising her? And then, obviously, we're starting to win the Second Amendment fight. I don't think we want to have a revolution. That's what they want. I think they want to maybe push us into people getting violent. I don't think that's the answer, but I do get it is a line in the sand. Professor Locke, can you speak to that?
Right. Well, I don't think they're going to come right out and ban guns right away. I mean, you kind of touched on this earlier. I think it's a process of trying to gradually change, or maybe relatively quickly, but over a period of time, people's views on guns. And one of the ways they try to do it is by putting taxes and fees on people being able to go and get guns to reduce the number of people who own.
But, Professor, what I'm asking you, and I understand you only follow scientific stuff, so I get it. You only answer questions you can answer. I'm asking you, why would Hillary and others come out and say, maybe we should look at confiscation? I mean, she said that. That is so unpopular.
Right, that was the second part of your question. Look, obviously, just a couple weeks ago, she was talking about both Australia and UK as having the type of gun laws that we should follow. I wrote up a piece at crimeresearch.org that goes through the numbers on that. She seems to think that improved crime rates. In fact, the opposite is true. You look at the UK when they banned handguns in January 1997. Over the next 8 years, the homicide rate in the country increased by 50%. They're still lower than ours, but it went up relative to where it was. There are other differences that exist across the country.
It's cultural. Yeah.
In Australia, you've seen similar types of changes. First of all, they didn't ban guns in Australia. What they did was they had a buyback of about a third of the guns, and then people were able to go and buy guns again. And so you have this sudden, sharp drop, but then an increase in the rate of gun ownership over time. And now, by 2010, they were about back to where they were before the buyback.
Amazing. So, stay there, Professor. We got to go to break. We're going to come back with more calls straight ahead. John Watts, our guest.
Little
calls for the professor here in just a moment, but here is the clip of Hillary talking to her constituents about how wonderful Australia and England are. And, of course, their crime rates went up. I mean, that's a fact after they restricted their right to keep and bear arms. Here it is.
You know, Australia is a good example. Canada is a good example. The UK is a good example. Why? Because each of them had mass killings. Australia had a huge mass killing about 25 years ago. Canada did as well. So did the UK. And in reaction, they passed much stricter gun laws. In the Australian example, as I recall, that was a buyback program. The Australian government, as part of trying to clamp down on the availability of automatic weapons, offered a good price for buying hundreds of thousands of guns, and then they basically clamped down going forward in terms of having, you know, more of a background check approach, more of a permitting approach. But
right,
they believed,
and then she says we should look at that. We've only got it for about 3-4 minutes in this segment, then another 5-minute segment. That we've got Peter Schiff joining us on the economy and more, and a bunch of news I haven't hit. But right now, let's go to calls. Let's go ahead and talk to John in Wyoming. You're on the air with Professor John Lott. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Three quick points. When I was working at a large, prestigious gun shop in Houston, when the Brady Bill was passed, about 90% of all denials were for unpaid traffic tickets. They
Wow.
had nothing to do with felonies or crimes.
Wow.
Secondly, ask the anti-gunners to name one murderer, rapist, armed robber, drug dealer, gangbanger, or terrorist who obeys gun laws. Third, ask Hillary Clinton, since you dislike guns, why do you have so many Secret Service agents carrying micro Uzi, fully automatic 9mm submachine guns to protect you and your entourage?
Well, obviously, this is common sense, and it's an enemy under this administration. The truth is they just want to conquer us and disarm us. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Professor Lott, as political pressure turns against them, they are doubling down. What do you expect them to do next? I mean, obviously, just come out with fake statistics or what?
Well, I mean, they've come out with a lot of reports, and I think we're going to see a tidal wave of that type of information over the next year. There's been, you know, just compare this year to a couple years ago, they're spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars funding this type of research. And so, you know, if anything, it's amazing that they don't have even more stuff coming out. But this next year, coming up to the election, you know, coinciding with it on purpose, is going to be a lot of research. They're going to look, if you look over the last 20 years or so, support for more gun control kind of peaked in the late 1990s. It's been falling since then, and a lot of the surveys from Gallup and others show that maybe slightly more people oppose more gun control now than support it. But the real thing that explains how that those lines have moved over time are people's perceptions about whether guns make them safer or not. If you go back to 2000, Gallup did a survey that found that about only 35% of people thought owning a gun in the home made them safer. By December this last year, that had gone up to 63%. And Bloomberg and others look at these polls. They see them as well as I do and others do. And their plan then is to drive that number down, to try to make people think that owning a gun in the home or carrying it concealed makes things more dangerous. And if they can convince people of that, I think they believe that they'll have an easier shot. So what they do is they have a full court press.
Hold on, stay there. Back in 70 seconds, Professor Watts. We've got to go to break. Hard break. Crimeresearch.org. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Professor John Lott got cut off by that hard break at the end of the hour. He was getting into the tactics that they use, finishing a point, crimeresearch.org. Just because we're winning some battles does not mean we're winning the war. These people have taken folks' guns all over the world. They were trying to restrict knives in England, people's steak knives and butcher knives. I'm not joking. That's BBC with a straight face reporting that again just this week. We need to get on the offense and really finish these people once and for all. So we got a long way to go. I'm sorry, sir. You got caught up on the break. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, what Bloomberg's doing is he's funding the research. He's funding academic institutions like Columbia's Journalism School to go and train reporters on how to, in his mind, properly cover the gun issue. And then they're doing spending lots of money on the political activity. I testified earlier this year in Wyoming. They were trying to get rid of some of the gun-free zones in the state. And Bloomberg had paid for buses to bring college Democrats down from the University of Wyoming to the hearing. They paid people to go and pass out flyers, I guess getting $20 an hour for doing that. And they were able to pack the hearing room that was there by paying these people to come and cover their costs and things like that.
Oh, that I exposed that a decade ago here in Austin.
Right. And the thing is, it cowed probably at least one of the members of the panel that were voting and caused the defeat of the bill to try to get rid of the gun-free zones. In Nevada, they did a similar type of thing. And so that's one thing. People need to look at what's happened in other countries. Switzerland, for example, George Soros, for decades, has been funding a lot of anti-gun research that's there. And they really have nobody that's been on the other side to try to counter that. And no academics in Switzerland are kind of been on their side. And they have lost that battle. And so the reason why we put together the Crime Prevention Research Center is people can look at our About page to see the prestigious sure. academics that we have on our panel.
Well, that's what board. Drudge said when he was here. He said so much important stuff is why I go back to it. He said, you know, notice there's only a few people in every position, academics, statisticians, talk show hosts, journalists that are really fighting, and we're winning, but there's not a second row of teeth here. You know, there's not like right. another set's coming in. That's why we need to get more people that are prominent and have letters to their name to get in the fight and not just say, thank God John Lott's there. Let's go to Mary in Georgia. Mary, you're on the air. Welcome. Only caller we have time to go to. I'll get to the others after our guest leaves us. Go ahead, Mary.
Yes. Hi, Alex. Yeah, I have a practical question and concern.
Sure.
I'm traveling around the country. I've got a van all decked out and traveling around the country and having a great time. Traveling alone. And I feel like I need a gun. I have a practical reason to have one.
No, you do, yeah.
But I'm more afraid of being shot by a cop for having a gun than I am of being robbed or assaulted.
Well, I mean, just don't pick the gun up or have it out in view. And I mean, I don't want to give you advice for so many different laws and states, but generally a shotgun, a rifle, you know, check the laws of each state you go into and have it where you can get to it, but like under a blanket or something. And if a cop pulls you over, tell them, by the way, I have a firearm for my right. self-protection. Professor Lott?
Yeah, well, I think the police are the last ones you should be concerned about. Look, the police are actually relieved to find that you're a permit holder because the police know how incredibly law-abiding concealed handgun permit holders are. And so when they pull you over and you say, I have a concealed handgun permit and I have my gun with me, as you're supposed to tell them when they do that, trust me,
leave to the fair because you're more along the permit.
Absolutely. Holder. Okay, Professor Lott, amazing interview, crimeresearch.org. Use this Truth Center to defend freedom worldwide, not just here. Send the link out to everybody. We're going to send it out on Facebook and Twitter and get his books as well and give them to one of the poor anti-gun people. Professor Lott, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thank you.
We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side. Stay with us.